Have you noticed much of a change in medicine since you went into practice in 1969?
Well, it was a difficult decision, but when I got through with my fellowship at Emory with the chairman of the department, Dr. Dan Thompson, he asked me to stay on and on the faculty and work with him in the at the medical center and with the residents. But the deal we got was, the salary was so low, and I was married, and we had our first child, and I just didn't think I could do that well by just staying on at the university and gradually getting a pay raise after so many years of work. So I decided to go into private practice in Decatur, and there was a small hospital there at that time called DeKalb General. And I went to work there, and I lived in a house in Avondale. We moved from a house we were renting in Decatur to a small house in Avondale Estates, which is very close to the DeKalb General. Because when you're delivering babies, you need to be close to the hospital. So that met all the criteria they wanted that we needed. So we moved to a house in Avondale Estates, which we were buying.
The change in medicine?
Oh, yes. At the time that we went into practice in Decatur in 1969, so there were things that are a lot different than they were now. We did not have any PPOs. We did not have any HMOs. We did not have the huge premiums they charge for liability insurance. Our first liability insurance premium was approximately $1,500, and that stayed that way for several years, but eventually it started climbing up. And then finally, someone who had been to our hospital in Akron and told us, said, beware of the planners. The people he was talking about were the people that were setting up HMOs and PPOs, the physician provider organizations and the health maintenance organizations. So as the years have gone by, this concept of doing medical care has grown and grown. And the employers like it because these organizations will make deals with them where they will lower their premium and they will guarantee that the physicians will accept a certain premium. So as the employer would accept the contract, he would more or less require his employees to accept that contract or accept less benefits if they didn't want to accept that contract. So what we're running into now is if the employer, which is an employer of a lot of people, and there's some of your former patients under other systems, then either you join the organizations or you lose your patient. So we're being forced to do something we don't want to do, and say, make a deal with an insurance company where we would accept almost half of what we would usually accept for our fees. So the insurance companies are really making a lot of money on the doctors and the patients. In other words, they require them to get out of the hospital in just several days after a major operation. Or they require the obstetrical patients to get out in 24 hours, which, as we see lately, is becoming a hot issue, because some of the babies have been endangered by this. The women do fairly well, but the babies are the ones that might suffer from just being in 24 hours. So today you also have what we call pre-certification. So whenever a patient comes to me and she needs surgery, what we have to do is call the insurance pre-certification office and ask their permission to do this surgery, and trying to justify in every way that you can believe that you would need to do this, you probably wouldn't believe it. It's almost like saying, well, we don't like the way you part your hair, or we don't like how long your fingernails are, and so forth. But really, not quite that bad, but they really make it difficult for you because they don't want to spend the money to have a patient go in the hospital, because they try to prevent patients from receiving care that they need by offering them less major surgery first, and then later on maybe do a more major surgery. But it a lot of times this is more risk for the patient, but the pre-certifying group has a protocol they want to follow in order to prevent the patient from getting too many benefits. So it's really a difficult situation to work under those conditions, and it drives our girls in the front office crazy trying to get a patient pre-certified. That's only some of the changes that we've had in medicine. As far as taking care of the patients, the Medicare system is changing. They're paying less and less for every procedure. They're also requiring that patients don't have as much care as they need. In other words, they have a pap smear once every 3 years, or they have another procedure once every 2 or 3 years rather than every year, which they need a for example, in our field, they need a pelvic exam at least once a year to check on the possibility of ovarian cancer. If they go 3 years without an examination, then you may miss the cancer. So the other things that have changed is the technology. We used to have, as I said, when I went to work at DeKalb Medical Center, DeKalb General Hospital, just a small 125-bed hospital. And then eventually this hospital had expanded, so now it's called the DeKalb Medical Center, and it's well over 500 beds. And when I started there, we had about 100 people, 100 doctors on the staff, and now we have over 800 doctors on our staff. So it's been a tremendous change as far as numbers and in technology. As far as technology is concerned, we now have lasers that we use very frequently. But back in 1983, when I went to New Orleans to study about lasers under a doctor down there who had developed a laser to treat gynecologic problems with, I came back to Atlanta, and we actually treated patients down there. And I came back to Atlanta, and I suggested that the hospital buy a laser in order to treat these gynecologic problems. Well, the laser was new at that time, and the hospital board did not vote to get a laser. So what I had to do was to buy a laser and start treating patients there and helping train the other specialists in my field how to use the laser. But it took about 4 years for them to, and also competition from a hospital in the area who got some lasers, to actually decide to get some lasers. So it was difficult to change ideas about the technology and the use of lasers. Now there are so many lasers of different types doing different types of surgery that you could not imagine that back in 1983, only 12 years ago, 12 plus years ago. But now we recently built a new wing on the hospital where they have all new operating rooms and the latest high-tech instrumentation, video cameras, all kinds of instruments to do non-invasive surgery, such as laparoscopes and arthroscopes and all kinds of video equipment hooked up to this type of situation with light sources that fiber optic lights. So you just can't imagine the tremendous change that's happened in the last 10 to 12 years in the technology of doing medical care. And of course, the insurance reimbursement codes have not kept up with them all the time. And trying to get paid for what you do has been a real struggle in that regard, because they're so far behind in their technology and their coding system for these new technological developments in medicine. But they're very exciting, and they have really reduced the stay for people staying in the hospital. They come in for a cholecystectomy or gallbladder removal, and they go home either that evening or the next day, whereas they used to stay in a week or 10 days when they opened the abdomens some years ago. As right now, when we do a hysterectomy, we're supposed to get the patient out in 3 days, whether it's vaginal or abdominal. And the insurance companies are really pushing the doctors and the patients to that point where there may be a risk at time to send them home in 3 days, but most of the time we're able to get them out and with as much risk as we would think they might have at that time. But there have been changes in that particular area also, but it all boils down to the insurance companies trying to make more money and deprive the physicians of their rightful place in the medical system.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks for your time.